Sunday morning, 10:17:21. This is our Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. We're going to look at every wind of doctrine. First, we're going to look at the foundational scriptures. First, okay, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we've been looking at how what we do with the Word whenever we're following the Spirit and we use the Word of God, it's like our house upon a rock. It's a safety. When we don't, it's just like succumbing to Satan's bread, like we just talked about, it's always a failure. When we do not do things by God's Word, it will always be a failure. It's like the house on the sand. Okay, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me. What revealed it to him? The Spirit. But my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now the world has taken that and made, you know, the first pope was Peter. That's not what he meant. Upon this rock, talking about this word of the Spirit, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when it's founded on the rock, we're going to have a sure foundation. Okay, Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right? I know, and that was good, though. I like that. Hey, you improvise here. All right, 2:19. But that's good.
Yes, it is.
That's excellent. All right, 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints under the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, with that, turn to Ephesians 4:7. That is a confession that I've put on our sheet that we make, that the church is in divine order, with the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. See, we lay down doctrine. You know what doctrine is? Jesus, the cornerstone, he's doctrine. We lay him down. We build off of him. Wasn't he telling Peter, on this rock, I'll build my church? Okay, 7. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now remember that phrase. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See, when we don't have every wind of doctrine going on and we've got a good foundation laid down, then people can begin to mature and be secure in that. You can't, with this, everything. I remember when the purpose-driven life, it was going through every church. It's like a wind of doctrine blowing through there. And the person that wrote that book, if I'm not sure, was kind of one of those pastors caught on the carpet about certain things that weren't good. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help us. All right, one more. Psalms 133. Satan hates unity. If we unite, he ain't got a chance. That, you know, a united church, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Just absolutely won't happen. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. The whole body, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. We want God's blessings on the church. I tell you what, if he comes and makes us give an account like he did John and the seven churches, I want him to be able to say, I can't find any fault in you. All right. When we choose the Lord, we decide that we will no longer live for ourselves. So many are running about today clueless, and they just do whatever they want. They do just that. They're clueless. One minute a day, one on, not 1 minute of one day does the Lord mean for us to waste. Just going about aimlessly, no direction. That's being blown about by winds of doctrine. Seeing our youth, where, you know, we were talking about how different ones, we're talking about there's different ones in their families that were Christians and they were stable, they read their Bible, they're the ones that took their Bible to school and they went to a liberal college and now they're just like the world and they're horrible. There's that every wind of doctrine. Okay, we don't know how long we have, so we need to be about the Master's business. This is a serious time that we live in. There's no more of this silliness. No more just being blown about, doing your thing, doing what you want, doing what you think, living for yourself. We see so much of this, especially in the younger generation, the millennials for sure. Just, you know, I was watching a short clip of, I think it was in Australia, or it might have been in London. And these people are just trying to drive down the street, and these people are getting out in the road. They got a backpack on, and they're sitting in the street so the people can't drive. So the people just started getting out of their cars and dragging them off and getting in their cars and going on. I'm going, what do these people think they're doing? They've just lost their minds. They have no reasoning at all. They're just crazy nut. This is Satan's doing. It was kind of funny, though. One of them was an old guy. He'd just stretch his legs out, let him drag him, and then he'd go back and sit in the street again. I'm just going. But a bunch of them just started. There was some men just stood out there. When somebody did that, he'd pull them out of the way so the cars could get by. I'm thinking, Talk about beating the air. What good is this doing except making people so mad they're fixing to punch your lights out? Yeah, it's just unreal. All right, Jesus, we need to be about the Master's business. Jesus made this statement. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God. That was his entire purpose for coming. Since we are born for a purpose, we want to make sure that we get in God's will for us and are standing in a good foundation. Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 3. Right here, we're going to start with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we're laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You know, if you think about the physical body, you know, I may take my arm and I may take something off a shelf, but really the whole body is working with that part of the body, comes behind it and aids it to do what it needs to do. Every part of the body is working. And that's the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. Not, well, the arm, let's magnify the arm. The arm is just the greatest, you know. Isn't that what we're doing when it's like we get focused on, well, I follow this one and I follow that one and I follow that one and I follow that one. Well, so-and-so said and so-and-so said and so-and-so said and so-and-so said. You know what? I'm only interested in what God said. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that says right there men can build on that foundation. Some have said, well, only the apostles of the Lamb could lay a foundation. There's no more laying a foundation. But right here it says that they can lay foundation. It better be good foundation or it's going to burn up. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try it. Every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So God is the one. We're building off of Jesus Christ here. Not our own ideas. All right. Jesus is the foundation that must be laid, and anything else is sinking sand. Would you agree with that? Sometimes it's not pleasant, but it's necessary. Sometimes words, I know Paul, you know, they probably thought sometimes, boy, he just comes in here, roughs us up. I would say today that this is the biggest sabotage in the church today. Ephesians 4:14, we read that, but we're going to go back. It's wind of doctrine. 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's how churches get off, see? The Strong's wind right here is anemos, which just means wind, and it also means the four quarters of the earth. You remember the flat earth map with the four angels at the four corners of the earth? Revelation chapter 7? Okay. All right, just a thought, a distraction, something to get your eyes off the goal, like fads. Like the four spirits in Zechariah the four horsemen of the apocalypse that are spirits that go and deceive mankind in different areas in different ways. It's like I told you, one church starts something, then all the churches pick it up, and it all blows through the church. Is God in it? I don't know. I guess he could be sometimes and sometimes not. We need to know for sure. All right, vines, it's in the vines, that word, besides its literal meaning, is used metaphorically of variable teaching. Maybe some little twist and twirk of teaching, just enough to just twist it a little bit to make it totally lose its meaning. I think that happens a lot. The word doctrine just means instruction. That's what a foundation, when you lay a foundation, you're just laying down instruction. That's what Paul was doing. He was telling the churches, this is God's way. Yeah. Okay, Ephesians 4 plainly states, when the apostles lay down foundation, God's foundation, it will cause the church to grow up and no longer be moved by Satan's winds that are constantly blowing, trying to change the narrative. Now, I was telling Danny, I was listening to Juan O'Save, and he had Mickey Flynn and Tom Numbers on there, and another lady I didn't know. I liked what she had to say, but I never did hear her name. I was real proud of Juan because he does have a pretty sound theological background. He knows a lot about the scriptures and everything, and they were asking questions about UFOs and all that. He debunked every bit of it. Went right back to the scripture talking about they're demonic entities and they're fooling you. And that Aleister Crowley started having dreams of these aliens coming to him. And I remember the picture. His name was Lamb or something like that, this alien. That he was having dreams. And that's when all that garbage started and all this narrative started. He debunked time travel. He said, it's not what you think. It's not as you think. All this stuff you're hearing, it's setting a narrative, but don't be fooled by it. I'm thinking, I hope, because most of them are younger. They're like in their 40s. I said, I hope they heard every word he said when they start with that weird stuff out here. I said, Lord, you said everything. He said everything that day that you've told me just from the Word of God. And I know he has inside information. I know he's close to the president. So it gave me encouragement because I'm thinking, Lord, all this weirdness has to be exposed. There are no planets out there full of other races, okay? All right. Satan himself appears as an angel of light. All right, we may stay well grounded and go by what our Bible and the Holy Spirit is saying and shut our ears to the winds of doctrine. They're there to keep you immature. Just believe it. Anything instead of believing what the Word of God says and the Holy Spirit is saying to you, just like people that do not associate because of their doctrinal backgrounds, that we are in the end times. People are taking the mark. People are compromising themselves today. And you know what? A mandate is not a law. And so at any time, they could have said, no, I'm not taking that. This is why it's so important that we don't go the religious way. Most do that, but find that they don't find the defined will of God for themselves. There is a corporate, you could say, doctrinal issues that are just things that you know as a Christian, but there is a defined will of God for us. And he wants us to get in it and stay in it. That's essential. Okay, turn to Luke. Luke 2. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is thy name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them to of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servants Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And what I want you to see through this, there was a time that Mary was visited, and she had a specific role to play. Did she put her life in danger? Yes, she did. To be found pregnant with no husband, they could have stoned her in the street. See, God's called us to do. We have a defined will of God for our lives, and God wants us to follow it to the letter. Jesus was zealous to do God's will, but he had to learn to wait on the Father's timing. See, this happened later after he was born. Let's go a few pages here. Let me find it. All right. And it came to pass, this is 2:1, in those days that there went out a decree from, see, that's the wrong, wait a minute, I need to get, sorry, 41. No, I'm wrong there too. Well, I wrote this one completely wrong. All right, this is 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. See, Jesus had a defined will, and even at age 12, he knew what he was supposed to do. But he had to wait on God's timing. This is essential. Knowing God's will is very important, but moving when he says move is equally important. Yeah. 1 Peter 2. You know, most Christians I know, they just do whatever. Just whatever. I'm thinking, I don't know how you live that way. It's so, because the Lord has this in such a straight. You know, such a path, such a defined thing. I just think, how do you live that way? Maybe you don't. All right, 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Most people today don't want to do it. If it's uncomfortable, they won't do it. I'm thinking, used to, comfortable was nice, but now it's like when you have a day of comfort, it's just so, oh, that's the way it is. It's been so long, I can't remember. Jesus did not move out independently. He did not let his emotions get involved. Well, the Lord's already talking about that today, isn't he? Let's look at a couple more scriptures. John 5:19. I think the Lord's saying, suck it up, buttercup. I'm in charge and I'm overseeing it and everything's going to be okay. Just stick with the plan. Don't step out of his plan. Then answered Jesus and said, it's verse 19, unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. John 12:49. I know this, when I do see him face to face, I want him to say, well done. That'll get you where you don't have the fear of man. You got a fear of the living God. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Not just anything and anything that blows through. He heard from the Father. They didn't have, well, I guess they had cemeteries back in those days, seminaries. If somebody goes to seminary, that's fine. That's what God tells you to do. But I mean, it's been my experience, and also many in the Bible that have done things for God. They went to the school of hard knocks under the Holy Ghost power out in the wilderness and on the backside of the desert, that kind of thing. They heard from God. He told them what to do, and they did it to the letter. All right, one more story, just a few scriptures. Esther. Chapter 4. Here, Esther was the queen. Verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe that. We have been born, and God is training us for such a time as this.